Welcome to Reconnect, Stories of Faith and Friendship, where we'll explore how our connections shape our faith.
This is your host, Bridger Moreland, Assistant Minister at West Nashville Church.
This month, we're focusing on reconnecting with God. And today, we're blessed to have our special guest joining us, our senior pastor, the Reverend Dr. Tommy Clark. And together, we'll be discussing a practical ways to prioritize your spiritual life. All right, Pastor Tommy. Studies show that the average person spends over 7 hours a day on screens. Now, imagine dedicating just a fraction of that time to our spiritual growth. Why is it so hard for us to find time for God in our lives?
I think, and I speculate, and I don't think there is a very specific answer to that, but I think a lot of people don't give enough time to it, or don't give much time to it, don't give any time to it, because people look for instant gratification in anything they put effort into. And people want results for things they put effort into. And I think finding time for God does require a little bit of effort. I don't think it takes a lot of effort, but it requires a little bit of effort. And I mean, to be honest with you, in some ways, you know, some people may see it doesn't give you that tangible, instant gratification that people look for when they put forth some sort of effort. I think there is gratification there, and I think there is a response to it, but that requires time. And I think people don't want to invest that kind of time when, you know, screen time gives instant gratification you're looking for, and there's chemicals in your brain that happens when you get the when you're on social media and you get your likes and your comments and such. You get that real quick response, and you get those quick feelings. But I think spending time with God and finding time for God is something that takes effort, and you have to put effort into. You're investing time into it. And then in return, in order to feel that return, you also have to invest more time. I think there is gratification, but you have to want to feel it. And you have to stop, and you have to invest more time into it. And I think it comes from emotions. I think your God's response, or what you receive from putting in that time from God, it's in your emotions. It's in your feelings. And you have to really stop, look around, take in your environment, and consider what's good in your life. I'm reading a book right now called Hardwiring Happiness. And the author talks about constantly taking in the good. And even though you may be in an environment that's full of turbulence, and there may be stress and anxiety, you can stop and push those things to the side and take in what's good in your life. Even it may be as simple as breathing in the air and recognizing that you're breathing in fresh air, and you're living, and your blood is flowing through your arteries and your veins. That's taking in the good, you know. Or if it's just sitting down with a cup of coffee and looking out the window, you're taking in the good. And I think those are the responses you get when you put in time. Because when you find time for God, you recognize God, may it be in prayer, may it be in some kind of ritual, may it be in worship. After that, stop and recognize life around you. You know what you're breathing in, what's the environment around you, what you're hearing, what you're feeling, the emotions that you have, and particularly the positive emotions, because I think God is involved in that, and that's, you know, nourishment for the soul. So I guess to come back around to your question, you know, why is it hard to find time for God? It's a different kind of response. And I think the outwardly response that you receive from it, it's not instant. And that, too, requires effort. And you have to want to. But once you learn how to do that, and once you learn how to take in the good, see what God has given you, recognize what's around you that God has blessed you with, and to just really bask in it, you know, lack of better words, just to rest in it. And I think when you do that, you find yourself resting in the Spirit. Yeah, I think that's how you recognize God ultimately.
So Pastor Tommy, I know you're an avid bike rider. How do you bask in God when you're on a competitive bike ride and trying to still appreciate everything that God gave you?
Good question. And I get that question a lot. And everybody is different. I have an adventurous spirit, and adventure feeds me, and excitement feeds me, maybe even a little bit of fear feeds me, because I like to be challenged. And like I say, I think everybody's different. I recognize that that God is part of that. I think God brought cycling into my life, because when I'm riding my bike, it'd be with, you know, alone or with friends, or even if I'm in a race, gosh, I feel the Spirit. Yeah, that really feeds my soul. Back in the early days when I first started bike racing, and I still do this now. I don't race as much as I used to, but 15 years ago, I was racing nearly every weekend of the summer. I can remember being on the starting line, and I mean, tension is high.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can feel it, even though the race hasn't started. Heart rate was 120, 130 beats per minute. Everybody. But being on the starting line, and before the race director says go, I would start a prayer. And I'd say, "Dear God, let's do this, and I want you to do this with me." And it would go. And I mean, you know, a lot of times it was chaos coming off the starting line, but I often felt that God was in that with me and doing that with me. And, you know, it didn't matter if I had a successful race or if I had a lousy performance. Oh gosh, that adventure and that feeling, that competitive feeling, and just pouring myself out. I mean, you're draining yourself of every little bit of energy that you have. Gosh, yeah, God gave that to me, and that fuels my soul. So, yeah, that's, and everybody's different, obviously. In there, not everybody feels that way, and I understand that. But I think that also shows that we're all unique in some sort of way.
Oh, for sure. I love the part of him doing it with you.
Yeah.
I mean, I've competed with a lot of other athletes, and definitely not what you do, but there's always these prayers that we do well, or the outcome is the way you want it, but not necessarily, hey, just do this with me. I love that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is it any easier? I mean, a lot of people will look at you and go, well, you're a pastor. This is your full-time job. Of course it's easy for you to make time for God. Or does it make it actually harder for you?
I think I have to be more intentional about it. Well, I guess everybody has to be intentional about it, but I feel like I really have to be intentional about it, because I get involved in the work and in what I'm doing, and forget about why I'm doing it. And I know that's kind of the purpose. So I feel like I have to be intentional about it. And I know a lot of pastors that really get caught up in what they're doing, and they lose why they're doing it. Yeah, it just becomes work. It just becomes a job. But pastoral ministry is a blessing. You do have to practice what you preach. I mean, no pun intended. You have to put yourself into it, because you're teaching this, and you're teaching about this thing. You know, may it be justice or peace or having hope and grace, but you really have to act it out. And it's more genuine when you act it out and you play it out. And you're setting an example for, you know, the people that follow you, particularly for church members. You know, you want to set that example, and you want to live out your job and be a good, you know, representation of who you are. So to answer the questions, I don't think it's harder or easier, but I think you just have to be really intentional about it.
Have you seen examples in our congregation of them being creative about bringing God into their daily routines? Are there things that you've heard people share?
I'd have to think about that. I think everybody has their own way. I have heard some of our church members talk about how special it is to be with family, and to be involved with family gatherings. And I think that's special, even though that might not on the surface seem like finding time with God. I think that is, because I think that's very divine. And because I think it triggers those, or evokes those spiritual emotions. Mm-hmm. And that spiritual, almost it's nostalgic to be with family, but I think that sparks those spiritual emotions, and you're sharing that with the people around you. And
ultimately, yes, that is the type of relationship we're looking for that immediate feedback, only with God as well.
Right, right. So, yeah, that's interesting that you bring that up, because you do, with that, you kind of get that instant feeling. And I think that is spending time with God. I've also talked to some church members that, you know, they talk about, well, doing this is very special for me. One of our church members, Ronnie Anderson, he loves washing he and his wife's car, you know, Lane's car.
And this doesn't surprise me with Ronnie.
This is therapeutic, he says. It's therapeutic. And I can remember Ronnie saying that once, and another church member, Jeff Dillingham, saying, well, I've got some therapy for you if you want to come over to the house. But I think, yeah, Ronnie washing cars, that's therapeutic. That's spiritual for him. That's his time alone and a special time, and it gives him time to contemplate things, but also do things that he loves to do. And I can see, like, you know, washing a car can seem like work. And, of course, racing a bicycle can too. But you're giving time to something that you love, you know. And if you love to do it, if it's therapeutic, it's putting you in a special space that you feel something. And I think that's giving time to God. I think washing your car can be giving time to God.
What a great way to frame a very mundane task that feels like it's supposed to be work.
Right, right. And yeah, I have heard some other church members talk about walking in the park or going for a walk around the neighborhood. Bonnie Knapper walks around the neighborhood all the time. I think about, you know, she lives way up on top of the hill mm-hmm. in the neighborhood, and Bonnie walking to the top of that hill. And I think how that seems to me like a very tough thing to do. You know, I can see that also for Bonnie. That's quiet time to take in nature, to enjoy the weather, and, you know, to hear the sounds, the smells, the changing of the season. That's spending time with God.
What advice would you give to someone who's overwhelmed and they just don't know where to start?
Yeah, it's easy to get overwhelmed. We all have different personalities. A lot of people have that personality that they approach something and it has to be, you know, there has to be a system and there has to be a way of doing this. And when you start counting out, you know, the 1, 2, 3s and the ABCs of doing something, it can seem overwhelming. My wife, Ellen, has a method of doing mostly everything. And if she doesn't have a method, she Googles the method on how to approach something. And it can be doing laundry, you know, cleaning this type of garment, doing this. And which is good because I'm the opposite and we balance each other out. But I think you have to be careful with that and you have to moderate that because that's when it can seem overwhelming. Mm-hmm. When you're looking at the list of the 1, 2, 3s and the ABCs.
That list that you haven't finished by the end of the day.
Right. And you're going into it and you have to do it this way. That can seem overwhelming. But finding time to spend with God and being with God and being with the Spirit, that is very unique to your person. That's very unique to your soul and your personal spirit. And there is no method. And it can be taking a breath, taking in a deep breath. It can be, as I mentioned earlier, sitting down with a cup of coffee. It's just a matter of putting yourself in that space. And there's not a method that doesn't look one certain way. You know, that is unique to the human being. So if you can just comfortably find a space to be yourself and to breathe and to take it in and to, you know, to feel good and to have those good emotions, I feel like the overwhelming part kind of dissipates. Mm. It's not so overwhelming once you just figure out you just got to be yourself. You just got to be you.
Now, it's supposed to be think of it more like you're living with a family member and this is a relationship and not a task that you have to.
Right. Right. Absolutely. Don't make it a task.
No. Well, how do you encourage people to make spiritual disciplines part of their daily rhythm without feeling like it's just that another obligation, that task, that checklist?
Yeah. And this is, I'm glad you're asking this. When I was in college at MTSU, working on my undergrad, I worked at the rec center there. And I worked in the fitness department. And I think it was probably my senior year, the forget what part of the student body came in, and they wanted to interview me, and they made a film with my interview in it, and it was for freshmen that were coming in, and it was for their orientation. And the question they asked was, how do you fit in exercise your first year of college, you know, as a freshman?
You're supposed to, wait, I thought that was just the time you're supposed to check out the buffet over in the dining hall.
Well, yeah, well, and that's, I think that's what they were trying to get students to avoid is to...
Oh, the freshman tennis. Real,
yeah,
though.
Freshman, yeah, 15 or whatever it is. So, yeah, I think they were making this video on this new student orientation so the freshmen would continue to exercise, you know, their freshman year, you know, coming out of senior year of high school. And they asked me that question, and I told them that you just got to make it part of your day. You know, whatever your day looks like. I mean, you've got to eat. You've got to rest. You've got to bathe, you know.
Right.
It's the essential things.
I believe I might have forgotten that a few times my freshman year at LSU. Yes.
I think some freshmen do. You know, you have those chores you have to do. You have homework. You have to go to class. You have to make going to exercise part of that. Mm-hmm. And make that it's the same priority. Because that is, exercise is a huge part of your mental health. We could talk about that all day too, but I think...
Maybe another podcast, right.
So, yeah, you just have to fit it in there with priority and importance. So when you ask that question, you know, how do you make your everyday moments part? How do you prioritize that, or why is that important? And I think it's kind of the same question is... You have to make that part of your schedule. And it doesn't have to be elaborate. It doesn't have to be this big and thing that you do. It's just, 10 minutes, 15 minutes. In the mornings, I do yoga in the mornings. And I'm like, all I need is 15 minutes. If I get 15 minutes of yoga, my mother has been a yoga teacher for over 20 years. So I get a lot of my routine from my mom showing me how. But at the end of my stretching, at the end of my yoga, I meditate. Mm-hmm. You know, I've got the mat on the floor, and I lay down. I put my hands to the side, and I try to shut off everything in my brain, in my mind. And sometimes I talk to God. Sometimes I just think to God. It's not about talking to God. You know, you can think to God. God hears that. You can just...
Well, sometimes it's just listening to God.
Listening to God, feeling emotions, maybe, you know, sadness, anger, happiness, joy, and you're sharing those with God. And it's just minutes. It doesn't take much. It's just minutes. And I get up off of that mat feeling renewed. You know, it's a great feeling. Another way that... I think, or God in your everyday routine, is to ask yourself, where is God in this? And I was talking to somebody about this just recently, is to physically ask yourself that question. When I was in seminary, I volunteered for this nonprofit ministry called Manna House. And Manna House, it was in an old renovated house in close to downtown Memphis. I think it was actually in Midtown. And it was one of my professors that started this nonprofit. But on certain days of the week, people that were affected by homelessness could come in and they could get some clothes. On certain days, they could take showers. But the primary thing that they could do is they had a big backyard and they had some picnic tables back there, and they could just be. Mm. And they could just feel welcome. And the Manna House was considered a house of hospitality. So the people off the streets could just find a place to sit down and not be harassed. And not be asked to leave, and to play a board game, you know, and to just enjoy that freedom in that space, which is a shame they had to find somewhere to do that, you know. But anyway, I volunteered at Manna House a lot, and Manna House is also one of the inspirations for my own homeless ministry. But after we finished volunteering for the day, all the volunteers, which is typically around, I don't know, seven or eight people, we would get in a circle and we'd go around the circle and we would say where we saw God that day, that morning, while volunteering. You know, where did you see God today? It was the answers and the responses were just always moving, you know, because somebody would say, you know, this person was crying about something. And I saw this other person comfort them. And I saw God there.
Wow, that's just beautiful.
Yeah. Or it would be, you know, I saw Reggie laughing today, and I hadn't seen him laugh in a while. I saw God in that. Or it was, I saw so-and-so get a cup of coffee and shake the person's hand that served him the coffee. They were just smiling, and I saw God in that. And we would just go around that circle, and I always looked forward to that part of volunteering for Manor House. Because people would say that's where they saw God. And I think if you stop and ask yourself, where did I see God today? It's one, recognizing where you saw God, but it's also reminding yourself, God is present in these things. And I think the things that you see God in, often you don't realize it, but it sparks that emotion, you know. You see it in somebody helping somebody, a stranger helping somebody. You see it in the sunrise. You see it in the sunset. You see it in the stars in the sky, how they just twinkle sometimes. And you know that, well, no, you don't know what's beyond that, but you know it's this vast creation. You see it in church. You see it with the people you go to church with. You see it in the supermarket. You see it in so many different ways. And I think recognizing that is so important. Is asking yourself, even at the end of the day, sit down with your kids, sit down with your wife, sit down with your dog, I don't know. And ask,
like that very much.
Yeah. Ask yourself, where'd you see God today? And share with that. And because I think it's not only reminding yourself, you need to remind yourself where you saw God, but when other people start talking about where they saw God, it starts opening up a whole new world of where God can potentially be.
Talk about that instant gratification that we seem to be missing out on.
Right. I think you could potentially find it just with those simple questions.
I do appreciate your feedback on this stuff, Pastor Tommy. That's some great takeaways for today.
So now we're joined by the Reverend Brandon Hendricks.
Gray Rock Church out here in Cottrell, North Carolina.
Awesome. I'm sure you're doing some amazing work out there. And we also have on the line our children's minister here at West Nashville Church, Elizabeth Johnson.
Hello. I'm glad to be here.
Awesome. Do you have any stories of individuals in your church or the previous churches that you worked with who found meaningful ways to prioritize their spiritual lives despite having a really busy schedule?
You know, it's funny you say that. And it's just very interesting that the person that came to mind when you asked that question is actually right here on this podcast. Lizzie is one of those people of everybody I guess interacted with in the past couple years who I've seen like have a lot going on their plate, but still chose to prioritize God through those seasons. Lizzie is actually one of the main people I can think of that really chose to do that. And it was something that was inspiring to see, because like even when she was dealing with like turbulent situations with like the moving stuff or like roommate stuff going on, she would still prioritize coming to her Koinonia Bible study. She would still prioritize the worship team and being involved at West Nashville Church. And that's something that's a very, actually very real practical example, somebody that's just right here doing that. But there's several people I've worked with or been involved with at the church over the years, like that I've seen definitely do that. I found the prioritization is really what supersedes the person actually going forth and taking their spiritual life and taking initiative on that, because it's like we have a lot of, everybody's busy nowadays, right? But it's the choice you make to prioritize your spiritual life. That choice, you either make it or you don't. And the people who do end up making the choice to prioritize that, you can see the fruit in their life because of it.
Amen to that. So Lizzie, I'll put you on the spot then. I mean, how did you go through everything you went through in the last year and still make time for God? How was He put forth as one of the most important things, or the most important thing, despite everything going around?
Well, I'm honestly surprised that Brandon answered with me, because I didn't feel like I was doing anything special. But I think I can just tell that I feel more aligned and peaceful when I am involved in the community at church, whether it's just by coming and participating as a member of the congregation at a potluck and just eating good food and sitting next to people and having good conversation, or by leading Bible study or the children's ministry. I always just feel so much more centered with that. And I guess it's just by comparing and contrasting times when I've been able to feel that centeredness and not the difference. I feel like I just talked in a circle there. But basically, like, I can tell that I'm more centered when I do it. And so just by that repeated experience, it gets easier and easier to just make time for it, because I don't want to feel depressed and chaotic and lost like I do when I'm not attending and participating.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Back to you, Pastor Brandon. You are still a relatively new father and husband and a new senior pastor at the church that you're at. That's got to be overwhelming sometimes. Can you tell about your personal reflection about staying connected to God when all of these other things are brand new in your life?
You know, like, there's an old section of scripture, a short couple verses that Paul says that always used to confuse me, but the more I've lived, the more they've become real. In Romans 5, verses 3 through 4, Paul says, suffering produces endurance, endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And I've actually found over time that the more I've had to lean on God, not out of choice, but out of necessity, I've learned the truth of what all that means. Because, like, when you have a lot of busyness going on, and sometimes good news, sometimes not so good news in your life, especially when you're dealing with trying to be a minister, I mean, you have to wrestle with all that while still trying to be a light in your community. And, you know, sometimes it's not always easy to see the light when you're in darkness. But funny enough, the more I felt pressure from the world, from the enemy, spiritual warfare, the more I've found that, like, just pressing into God, it's like Lizzie said, it's almost the only option that's actually any good option. She says, like, if you were listening to what she was saying, she was talking about, like, you know, if I don't do these things, I feel X, Y, and Z. Well, I found in my life when I'm out of alignment with God, when I'm spiritually out of alignment with God, the fruit that comes from that, it's not good. And honestly, when you are able to just center yourself and choose God, make him a priority, there's real physical worldly transformations that occur that you don't realize come from the spiritual realm. And I just think this is something that people highly underestimate. And from my personal experience, if it wasn't for choosing the path, the hard, narrow path with the Lord, honestly, I don't know if I'd be where I am today, because of some of the trials that you experience in life, you can't handle on your own. And the whole idea of lean not on your own understanding, it really rings true when you're put to the test.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah, and I know I've leaned that. It's funny that you bring up the passage in Romans 5, because I've reread that one so many times, trying to convince myself that it's not about what's happening to you in the here and now. I mean, this stuff is going to make us stronger. We will get through it with his help.
Amen.
And, you know, there will be grace on the other side. So the staying connected with God through all of these things going on and keeping centered on scriptures like that, how can you suggest that our listeners find strength and wisdom to prioritize their relationship with God? Do you have any specific tactical things that they can do, you know, short little steps to get them started down the road, making God more of a priority in their life?
I think that it's kind of like what Brandon said, you either make the decision or you don't, which
amen.
I always tease Brandon about not giving actionable advice. So that is easier said than done. But I think for me, the action kind of is reflected in when I plan my week.
You know, I was going to ask you about that, Lizzie. I know you're fairly dedicated to keeping a schedule and making sure that things are prioritized and you've got your list going and everything. Do you add faith practices to your calendar as well?
I would say that it's not scheduled out, but it's kind of, it is on the to-do list, but I don't constrict it to a regular time. What is always prioritized as far as the time and place is I'm showing up to church on Sunday morning and I'm showing up to Koinonia and worship practice. And so my journey over the last few years, at first I was showing up for worship team practice because it was a paid gig and I wanted to be connected in a church. Partially because performing in a church is a lot lower pressure than performing, you know, on any other stage in Broadway, in my
blessings
opinion.
For us. I mean, yay.
So I started going to the worship team, and then I found out about Bible study, and I wanted to expand my community because Nashville just didn't really feel quite like home yet. Like, I'd be driving to my apartment telling myself, I live in Nashville, like trying to make it feel real. And so then I started setting aside time for Koinonia, and it was a really nice experience. And those folks have been with me through many tears. And so just once you go through enough bonding experiences like that, I don't know, I can't imagine spending my evening any other way than by going and seeing them. And so I think I have found over the last few years for me, like, I just made a commitment to show up to one thing, and that inspired me to show up for other things as time went on. And to me, it's that experience of like my cup overflowing. Like, for a while my cup wasn't overflowing, it was a couple drops at a time, but once it did start overflowing, like, I have joy and energy coming from the Lord, and that just makes me like, I can't keep it to myself. I can't sit at home with all this joy and energy by myself. I need to go out community and find all the to get that I can.
That's beautiful. All right, Pastor Brandon, back to you. Last question before we get into the wrap up. Any suggestions for any short daily habits? Do you do consistent times for like morning prayers or Bible verses or anything that could help our listeners?
Yeah, actually, so there are actionable steps that I think people can take. I do believe, like, for instance, every morning I used to try to do like a big prayer session or whatever, but right now what I can always do no matter what when I wake up is I just say, Lord, fill my thoughts with your thoughts. It was a suggestion that somebody I knew at another church that I had affiliated with for a while, they had told me this, and I was like, man, that's just such an easy way to start the day, because sometimes people wake up and the first thing that floods their mind is worrisome thoughts or negative emotions. And so that's the idea of just asking God very simply, Lord, flood my thoughts with your thoughts. And I try to pray every night before I go to bed. I even try to do some Christian meditation. And you can set up these habits. And I actually would encourage people to do that, whether it's pray, or some people will do a small devotional in the morning. Other people I've worked with who have had tons of success in churches in the past who will wake up and do a morning devotional with their spouse or something like that. I think those are great ways to great things to do, really, to help, I guess, be an edifying force in your life. But honestly, at the end of the day, I think these practices are great. Like I was, like Lizzie was kind of saying, just kind of reiterating that statement, like, if you prioritize something, you're going to do it. Like, you don't have to say, oh, make sure you prioritize, you know, eating food you like, because people will just do it. If you care about something and it's truly your heart is set on something, you are going to do it. And so a lot of times when I've been spiritually cold, I can do these practices, but they become rote if they're just being done for the sake of being done. I still think there's benefits to doing them, but truly what you want to do, if you're really trying to encounter God, is make God the priority in your life. Because if you make God the priority in your life, the other things will fall into place. They just will. And that sounds like so backwards thinking, but I'm telling you right now, if there's any advice I have at all, anything I've learned over the years of my life, and I don't have, you know, I have definitely not figured everything out in my life at all. But if there's anything I have figured out, it's that what you prioritize, you will do. And if you prioritize God, he will transform your life. And there's nothing else I can say until you've done it. You have to see it to believe it. But in order to experience it, you have to choose it. And that you are who you choose to be. And that is a choice that you have to make.
Amen. Well, brother, on that note, Could you lead us by example and take us through a short prayer reflecting on what we've been learning today?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I just thank you for my brother and sister here, God, that you have been guiding not only West Nashville Church, but your greater church into all truth. Lord, may we continue to press into that truth and have the eyes to see and the ears to hear where you would call us, God. May we have spirits that yearn for you, hearts that are transformed and molded by you. Lord, may we turn the callousness of our hearts, the callousness of our ears. God, may you just transform and melt that away, Lord. Take the scales off of our eyes so that we can see you in our everyday life. See how you are for us and just get away all the darkness, God, the enemy's lies out of our ears that would tell us that you are not for us, Lord, but we know that you are, God. You are a good God who loves us and chases us down no matter where we are under any circumstance. May the little that we even can give to you, God, we know that you bring back abundantly into our lives and spiritual fruit that is beyond measure, Lord. So we thank you for that. I pray for all those who are listening. I pray for my brother and sister here, God, and I just pray again, Lord, for your church, Lord, that we continue to press into you, Lord, and seek you in all forms of our life. In Jesus' name we pray, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
I encourage all of our listeners to also just set aside those minutes for God. You know, just 10 minutes can make an extreme difference in your life. Listeners, what's one thing that you're doing to reconnect with God this week? Let us know by tagging us at the Reconnect Podcast. Or emailing us at office@wncp.org. I would be happy to hear from you. Next week, we're going to dive into another podcast talking about hearing God's voice in everyday moments. I can't wait for that. That should be good. Thank you, everyone. I look forward to talking to you again. And this is the Reconnect Podcast.